podcast.
With energy prices soaring and the cost of living continuing to rise, many people are worrying about how to make ends meet. However, there is a range of support available to help households in Argyll and Bute, from direct financial support to advice on reducing energy consumption and maximising income. With me today are representatives from just a range of the support agencies that we have in Argyll and Bute. So we've got council representatives from Alley Energy, Argyll and Bute Citizens Advice Bureau, Bute Advice Centre and the Helensburgh and Lomond Food Bank. And they're going to introduce themselves and a little bit more about their organisation. Here they are.
Hi Pippa, I'm Fergus Walker. I am the Revenue and Benefit Manager at Argyll and Bute Council. And within that role, I also sit on the Council's Multi-Agency Financial Inclusion and Advice Group and also the Child Poverty Planning Group. And that's where we work together with our partners in the advice sector, looking at sort of money advice and energy advice and things as well. So that's why I'm involved in this sort of project.
Fab, thanks Fergus. Linda, can I get you to go next?
Hi, I'm Linda Mitchell. I'm the manager at Alley Energy, and we're a local charity that's been focused on fuel poverty for many years now. We've been working to help people who are struggling with fuel poverty issues for over 20 years. And of course, these days, our services seem to be needed more than ever in the current difficult times.
Unfortunately, yes, absolutely. And we'll go on to talk a bit more about that. Thanks, Linda. Jen, can I get you to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Pippa. I'm Jen Broadhurst. I'm the Bureau Manager at Argyll and Bute Citizens Advice Bureau. We provide a range of advice and support to anybody across our communities in Argyll and Bute, particularly around debt and welfare rights work, but also covering employment, health, housing, education, widespread.
Thanks, Jen. You're a little bit quiet, so I don't know if you can
move that a bit up. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Fab. Thanks. Julie.
Hi Pippa. Yes, I'm Julie Semple, manager of Bute Advice Centre, and we also help to facilitate the Community Food Forum. We've been in operation now for over 30 years, giving advice on all sorts of welfare rights and money advice issues. And certainly we have seen things busier now than and in the last couple of years than we ever have in the history of our organisation. So we're really delighted to participate in your podcast today.
Lovely, thanks Julie. And last but certainly not least, Mary.
Hi there Pippa, I'm Mary McGinley and I'm the chair of the Helensburgh and Lomond Food Bank, which is based in Helensburgh and serves Helensburgh and Roseneath. And I'm one of the members of the Argyll and Bute Community Food Forum, which has worked very closely, especially with Fergus, in helping to set up and get the flexible food fund going, which has been a great help, and also liaising with people in Argyll and Bute Council regarding food aid. So that's where I come in.
Lovely, thanks Mary. And I mean, all of you are just a snapshot of the whole picture in Argyll and Bute, so thank you for representing all of that goes on. And you're so right Mary, it's you know, that particularly in the pandemic, that the Food Forum and all the community organisations were such a fundamental part of the response. And I know we continue to try and work in partnership on all of that. I mean, maybe start with you, Mary, of, you know, over that period where we've had the pandemic and now we're starting to see that push on the cost of living. What sort of changes have you seen in demand and you know, numbers and things that are seeking help now?
Yep. I mean, unfortunately, despite the support from the Flexible Food Fund and encouraging people to take advantage of the Scottish Welfare Fund and other grants that are available, we have tried to promote a cash first approach, but undoubtedly, the way in which the cost of living has gone up and even energy for people that are on prepayment meters has always been a challenge. We are seeing far more people at the food bank than we have ever. We've been in existence for 8 years. and we've had a year-on-year increase in demand for our service. It's an entirely voluntary organisation, and we rely on food donated by the local community. And we are like other food banks that, that rely on these resources to make it happen for people. And I think we are expecting and beginning to see some of the donations drop off, because obviously people themselves don't have so much to share. And maybe when they're doing their own supermarket shop, where before they might have left a few things in the basket for the food bank, maybe they can only leave one now. So we are seeing an increase in demand and a bit of a reduction in donations. People, I think, are needing all the help they can get.
I mean, it's really concerning, isn't it, that, as you say, that that has been such a long-running trend, and arguably it's we all hope it won't, but it's likely to see we're likely to see it accelerate in terms of the issue, and I know that the new policy from Scottish Government and Good Food Nation, hopes that we won't need food banks. Obviously, it's a great asset, but I think we'd all hope that wasn't the case. And there's clearly going to be a lot more work we need to do to try and get to that point. I mean, we're recording this on what is, I've heard, coined of meter reading day, because it's the last day before the removal of the cap on fuel, or the increase in the cap on fuel prices. I mean, Linda, you're particularly looking at it from a sort of energy efficiency and fuel poverty point of view. What are you seeing over the period, and what are you expecting to see after today's increases?
We've seen a huge increase in people coming for help with their fuel bills over this past few months, and it's, I think, only going to get worse as we see prices going up tomorrow and then again probably in October as well. So we are really very, very concerned about this. I mean, looking at the numbers of clients that we've had through recently, it's gone up 3 to 4 times from what it used to be in previous years, and even since the autumn. So it's very, very serious. I mean, we in rural Scotland, we were already having a crisis of fuel poverty, you know, a couple of years ago before even the pandemic hit, when we were seeing levels of over 40% fuel poverty in remote rural parts of Scotland. And of course, this is partly because we don't have access to mains gas, which means that people are reliant on more expensive types of heating, such as electricity. So, yeah, I would say very, very concerned about the way things are going. And we've yet to see what will happen in April with the price increases. We usually see a decrease in clients in April as the warm weather comes in, but this year, perhaps we won't.
No, I mean, I think you're right. It's already a concern given the proportion of sort of fuel poor that that we see in the area. And yeah, I really worry what that's going to mean for us going forward. It's a really worrying time for people. I mean, Julie and Jen, you're kind of dealing with a broad range of support that people are looking for. I mean, Julie, maybe start us off. What are you seeing, you from your Bute perspective?
Well, of course, in the last year, because we've been delivering the Flexible Food Fund, ordinarily we cover the Bute and Cowell area, but of course because it has been Flexible Food Fund, we've been working on primarily, it's been much broader. And we do see that there's huge levels of poverty across the whole region, and really people are desperate for support. So the Flexible Food Fund has been absolutely fantastic for so many households. It's been cash in their pockets that really has made a difference. But of course, the challenge is ongoing, and I think that's where it's absolutely critical that, you know, sporadic pots of money where we can give a grant is really useful, it's really helpful, but what we need is to have increased income. on a weekly, monthly sort of basis. And so that's where I think income maximisation is hugely beneficial, where a benefits check is carried out to see if we can maybe access other things, you know, like disability benefits, like personal independence payments, you know, attendance allowance and such like. So not only do they get the grant through the Flexible Food Fund, but by coming through that process, they're then able to access other benefits that they will have for as long as, say, they're poorly or until they find employment again or whatever. And that's going to be absolutely key for people. Another thing I just wanted to say is that there are lots of benefits checkers out there, you know, that are national, and they're very good. They're excellent tools. But what they don't do is drill down to what's available at local level. So I would really strongly suggest that anybody who's listening get a benefits check done by a qualified welfare rights officer, advisor, that is well trained, so knows their stuff, but not just at national level. There's lots of devolved benefits now that the Scottish Government are dealing with. There's brand new benefits that the Scottish Government are offering. There's local authority initiatives that are fantastic. All of these, a local welfare rights officer, whether it be through Bute Advice or ABCAB or perhaps one of the Housing Association welfare rights officers, they will know this stuff and they'll be able to give a much more thorough benefits check than just going on to a benefits checker. They have a place, they are a good tool, but it's not as thorough as coming to one of us to do it for them.
Lovely, good tips there. And Jen, are you seeing similar trends to others? I expect so.
Yes, I would echo everything that Julie said there regarding speaking to local advisors as well. There's often hidden funds and pots there that people maybe aren't aware of, but we're certainly experiencing a rapid increase, I would say, really since the start of the year, since the price cap started to be spoken about in media circles. We've started to get clients' approaches regarding worrying about their current debt with energy suppliers and looking for support with that. And our advisors have been working away over the last 2 or 3 months, really, to try and challenge and negotiate with energy suppliers regarding ongoing costs. And I think for a number of our clients who've approached the Bureau, they've tried to negotiate with energy suppliers and fallen at the first hurdle in terms of getting through to speak to a person. Our advisors are experienced negotiators and know the best numbers to be calling. So I would encourage anybody who's worried about their energy costs at the moment to speak to a qualified advisor, because we really are best placed to negotiate and take the heat and some of the worry away that our clients are reporting. It has a huge effect on not just the finances of households, but also the mental well-being of households. And just sometimes speaking to an advisor who is used to dealing with these problems and there's no stigma attached to these things, we can support with not just the financial aspects and accessing supports and grants and income maximisation, but we can also look to signpost to other supports in terms of mental wellbeing and try and alleviate some of the stress that people are finding themselves in at the moment.
No, I think that's a really important point of, you know, it doesn't stop at the money, does it? You know, what that does in terms of you know, anxiety and, as you say, mental well-being and all of that that comes with that that worry is, you know, it's absolutely a real sort of knock on it just grows arms and legs.
I think it's about the some of the families that we work with, and we're getting more and more calls from people who are perhaps used to dealing with smaller budgets and finite resources, but the cost of living crisis is meaning that they're now starting to make really difficult choices with regards accessing out of school support for their children, you know, martial arts classes. They're looking for additional grants and funding that might be available for those types of things. And you start to see the poverty that people are living in at the moment in terms of energy and cost of living is very much apparent. But then also the avoidance tools for the poverty of the future are starting to be eroded at the moment as well. And those outlets there and other avenues are starting to be restricted for a lot of households at the moment. So keen to try and support people as best that we can.
Absolutely. And Fergus, I mean, you and your team sort of deal in the welfare rights space as well. And I know you're yep. working on sort of potentially sort of more initiatives that we're looking to try and bring forward as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've also been heavily involved with the Flexible Food Fund, as Julie has said, and we're extending that contract for another year, which is really good news. We've supported with Ally Energy and Butte Advice there. We've supported over 1,000, around about 1,000 households in the last year, and that income maximisation that we've talked about and maximising benefits, we've hit about £1.2 million worth of client gain there. So that is money in people's pockets that they can hopefully use to cover these increases in energy costs. And that's one major factor in mitigating the energy crisis. And combined with Butte Advice, with our own welfare rights teams, the work these guys do is absolutely phenomenal across our Gael and Butte Pippa. We're just about to collate the figures for the overall client gain across all these advice agencies over the last year. But I can tell you in the previous year, it was well over £6 million that these guys generated for people in Argyll and Butte. So I would absolutely encourage people to take that advice, speak to our local advisors in the Citizens Advice Bureau, in the Butte Advice Agency, our own welfare rights, and also with the RSLs to get these benefit checks. It's really, really important. We are potentially, Scottish Government are releasing some more funds to the council soon, and we're looking at other potential mitigations to support businesses who will also be affected by the increase in energy costs, but also some further support for individuals. And I believe there's a paper that's going to go to the leadership shortly about six or seven options there to help people further with that. I think the total amount of funding that we've got as a council for that is about £1.4 million. So there's more support that's going to be coming out. I can't really go into the detail of that at the moment. I'm not sure exactly what's going to be agreed, but there's hopefully going to be more funding for supporting people who are going to be struggling in these circumstances there coming as well. So we're doing an awful lot. We've had I've talked about the financial inclusion and advice group that we're all involved in. There's a wee offshoot group that's been set up looking specifically at energy advice. I chaired the first meeting of that last month. We're going to be working really closely together. We've set up a collated web page, if you like, on our website. And we've got the banner Heat Your Home, Manage Rising Costs on that. So please do go onto the Argyll and Butte Council website. If you type energy advice into the search engine, there's loads of information there. But the Heat Your Home, Manage Your Rising Costs is a really good resource, and you'll get contact details for all of our advice agencies and partnerships on there who can help. So again, that's really important. I'm really keen to reach out to the Foundation Scotland group as well, who monitor and manage a lot of the community benefit monies, if you like, that are linked to wind farms. And a lot of these monies are there to support people with fuel poverty. And we're keen to talk to them about maybe ways that we can possibly make referrals to these agencies in the future and hopefully find more support for people out there. So I'm trying to set up a meeting just now with Foundation Scotland to kick that process off as well. And there's just loads of good other... I'm looking to support Ally Energy with maybe... easing the burden of getting verification for people who are maybe struggling to find verification to back up their applications for other Scottish Government schemes. So if we can provide and share benefit data that we've got, if you like, with Ally Energy by setting up a data protection impact assessment and a privacy notice, I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to give Ally Energy and Home Energy Scotland, if they need it, a bit more reassurance that people are in receipt of certain benefits that would allow them to get certain other energy type supports that are available. And I know that there's some supports that Ally Energy and Home Energy Scotland can access that would really help people mitigate their debt and also maybe reduce their ongoing costs in the future. So these things are really important. If we can make that administrative process much easier for people and for Ally Energy and Home Energy Scotland, then it should hopefully make a lot of further improvements in these areas. So we're working really more closely together than ever with the third sector to try and, you know, get that support out there and get that, make that help available and as easy to get as possible.
Thanks, Fergus. I mean, I think those figures speak for themselves in terms of how compelling it is of, you know, what you guys can do in terms of levering in benefits and funding and things for people. And you know, what you described, Fergus, it's a sort of continuation of the partnership in practice. And it's great that we've got that funding from government to be able to look at, you know, doing locally bespoke additional support. So yeah, definitely for people to look out for that, because it will be coming soon. I mean, Mary, come back to you. You know, you touched on it's challenging because also donations are dropping off. What's useful for you in terms of what people can do to support, you know, and what kind of things do you need, and how do people who need to access the food bank, how best to go about that?
Yep, so the food bank is available across the whole of Argyll and Bute, and the Community Food Forum is listed on the website, so people can find out about their own local food bank, and it's opening hours from that. Here in Helensburgh, we are open on a Monday and on a Thursday, and Round and Roseneath on a Wednesday. And these are drop-in, no referral necessary, so people just have to turn up. If people find themselves in a situation where they have no food and no money to buy food, they should come along. It's a drop-in arrangement, and we'll be happy to see them, welcome them, and provide them with a bag of food that will keep them going for a week. It's a well-balanced bag, although a lot of it is tins or pasta and rice, things that can easily be stored. But we also offer cheese, eggs and bread and things like that as well. So we're very pleased to help. The local community does want to help those within the community who are struggling, and they're very generous in the donations that they've given. And all we are doing is neighbours sharing with neighbours. That's what it's about. And people shouldn't feel that the food bank's not for them. It's for everybody. Anybody who finds themselves in the need of food, we're there for them. The other thing is that we can also signpost people to the agencies that have already presented their case today, and those agencies can help them to maximise their incomes, help to sort out some of their energy issues. And we're also very pleased to be able to send people on to get top-ups for their electricity if they're eligible. And we do that through the food bank as well. So we try to encourage engagement in a benefits review, because we appreciate that increasing people's income is better than just handing out food.
Thanks, Mary. I love the way you describe that, of neighbours helping neighbours. I mean, that's kind of what it always used to be seen as many, many years ago. And I think that's part of what I love of being in an area like Argyll and Bute, because I think there is that sense of community that's at the heart of this, and just how that all of this is working, and all the work that you're all doing is working in concert with one another, of signposting to each other's resources, and you know, that sense that people can come into the system in a variety of ways and still get access to the support. I mean, Jen, you and Julie have already talked about the importance of sort of getting in and getting that benefits check. I mean, I imagine you'd encourage people to do that as early as possible. But, you know, are there any other tips on how best for people to access the services that you offer?
Yeah, so we are really big on empowering our clients that come to us. So we've got a range of tools that are online in terms of checking council tax is right for them. There's a council tax checker, there's a money map tool on our website that people can have a look at some of those other areas that they might be entitled to, and just check that their income is where it should be, but also their outgoings are where they should be as well. Checking that they're getting all the entitlements around discounts and accessing those types of things. And also looking to see if people are entitled to travel costs for healthcare. We have a patient advice service. Our advisor Ben works really quite well with a lot of patients across the region and accessing travel costs for people who might decline appointments because they perceive that they can't afford to get there. So there's support available for a range of things. We also have a very small fund there that offers support for people who perhaps aren't close to a food bank across the whole region of Argyll and Bute. It's quite a vast geography there. And access and support when it's needed might not just be around the corner for them. And it's been really lovely actually to see, as Mary mentioned earlier about neighbours helping neighbours, it's been really lovely to see over the course of not just the pandemic, but afterwards as well, about communities coming together and setting up local food shares, you know, cook-offs, things like that in their community halls. So I would urge people to have a look at the council website, but also have a look at their local halls around about. Many of them have been taken over as community assets by local groups. Speak to them and reiterate very much so that this is a pandemic of COVID proportions in terms of the cost of living rises. There is nearly going to be a household across the region of the country that's not going to be affected by the cost of living increases. So have a look online. If you're struggling to get online, come and speak to us, give us a phone call, we'll phone people back and keep costs down as much as possible, but really reaching out to people to say that the help is available. And also I think conversely, there's a lot of people out there who are looking to help and are looking to. We've had a lot of people get in touch with us to find out how to become a volunteer with the organisation because they're aware of the pressures in the community. So there's routes there to be able to support your community as well as access support there. And full training is available from ourselves, as I'm sure it is at Bute Advice as well, for people who are looking to get involved and support their communities in that way.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, the really important point, I'm sure we'll have a lot of people that want to get involved and want to help, which is really really reassuring in these times. Julie, any other sort of tips and hints and things that you want to add or advice for people?
I think that there are an awful lot of misunderstandings around benefits and welfare rights, and we've come across so many cases where people thought they weren't entitled to anything. I had one lady who thought that she shouldn't apply for child benefit for her third child because she had a benefits cap applied to her tax credits, things like that. So we've been able to help. So don't presume that you know you're sure you've got everything. For the few minutes that it takes to do a benefits check with someone who will understand the benefit system, it's a really, really good idea. We're going to be doing lots of publicity, but the one thing that I really wanted to highlight today was the Flexible Food Fund. It ranges, there's a lot of publicity out there already, but the pot of money ranges from £80 up to £530. It's a sliding scale depending on how large your family is. And if when you have a successful claim and you get that pot of money, you then engage with ourselves at Bute Advice Centre to you know, look at your benefits and grants and so on. And also we can do a referral to Ali Energy. So if there's anything energy related that they can support you with, there's a whole vast array of things we can look at for you. And if you allow us to do that, then a second payment can then be allocated from the Flexible Food Fund, and that will be the same amount as the initial pot of money. So it can be hugely beneficial to people to engage in this process with us. And almost everybody, I think there's only a tiny number of people who got a first tranche that didn't then go on to get their second tranche. Most people have been very willing to engage in this process, and advisors are there to just act as a conduit of information. They can provide all the various options, and then it's for the individual, it's their life and their choices. But if they need assistance, the advisors are there to help them. So we will be out and about trying to engage with people. So if individuals are listening and they think that it would be pertinent to them, then please get in contact. The application form online is on the council's website. However, if they don't feel very IT literate or comfortable with doing that, they can telephone Bute Advice Centre for an appointment. And our local number is 01700 502 784 to assist with that. If people are worried about the costs, all the calls will be done by Bute Advice Centre. So the person, other than that initial contact, everything will be covered by Bute Advice Centre. If when we're helping them to make applications and such like, and we're maybe sending out paperwork for them to sign and return to us, we'll always make sure that we put in stamped addressed envelopes. So nobody will be precluded from this service. If you need the help and the assistance, just make that one brief call and we will be there to support you.
No, very reassuring. And Linda, I mean, it's particularly pertinent because of all the publicity around the energy costs. So any tips before people come for sort of more detailed help, any hints and tips you can give people? And if they do need more assistance, how do they get in touch with and access your services?
Yeah, so I'd agree with what all the others have been saying, that it's really important to come forward and let our advisors do an assessment, because there are lots of funds that come and go and they're maybe, not very easy to find for an individual. So our advisors will know all of the things that are available at any one time and be able to match whatever somebody is eligible for to the person. Another thing that I would like to say, following on from what Jen was just saying about the issues of the effects on people's mental well-being, there's also, of course, an effect on people's physical health. The effects of living in cold, damp homes are well documented, but I think sometimes, you listen to some rather superficial energy advice and they say, just turn your heating down. I'd just like to point out that really this could be very harmful to people's health. So please don't turn the heating down too much, because if you are in any way vulnerable to anything such as cardiovascular problems, pneumonia, virus infections, all sorts of things, it can be extremely dangerous actually to turn the heating down too much. And I know that there are lots of people out there who've had to turn the heating down or off to the extent that it is actually harmful to their health. So just to make people aware of that if anyone out there is in that situation or knows of a vulnerable person that may be in that situation, please, please come for some help. There are ways, easy ways to get into to Ali Energy for help. We are fortunate in Argyll and Bute, I think, to have such a very strong network of other organisations, such as all of us here today, who work together so closely. And we have a really strong referrals network, so that we often get referrals in from other community groups, third sector organisations, health workers. So the referrals come in that way, but clients can also get in touch with us as individuals directly to us. So either through our email or through our telephone number. And the telephone number is, of course, quite busy at the moment. So the email is kind of preferred, but the phone number's there as well. So the email is inquiries@alienergy.org.uk. And that will get you onto our system for some help as soon as we can get back to you.
Lovely, thanks Linda. And I think there's a theme there with all of this of, like, it's get in touch, because actually getting this sort of bespoke advice and tailored to your circumstances can make all the difference, and that there is so much support out there. And we will signpost, there are others who we couldn't coordinate and get everybody at the same time, but there are others in Argyll and Bute, and we'll signpost to their support as well, because there is so much available. And I think the way in which you guys all work so closely together and coordinate is brilliant. And I think your passion and energy to support people comes across loud and clear to people. And it is people behind all these telephone numbers and emails. And I think, you know, who are, as Mary, I'm going to keep quoting you, as who are basically neighbours trying to support neighbours and look out for friends and others in the community in Argyll and Bute. And I think that's fantastic. So thank you all for being here today and telling people just a little bit more about the work. And I know it's a snippet. We could probably talk all day about the amount of work and stuff that goes on. So thank you for that. And we'll make sure people can have got all the details of how to access your services. So thank you.
Thanks, Pippa.
Thank you.
So thank you to Fergus, Linda, Jen, Julie and Mary again for being on the podcast today and sharing just a little bit about the help and support. We hope to get Jackie Westerman, our own Home Energy Efficiency Project Officer, and Brian Barker from Home Energy Scotland. We just couldn't coordinate everybody's timings, unfortunately. But I think that those that were with me today have given you just a snippet of the amount of support and real advice coming through loud and clear, which is please, if you do have difficulties, please engage early. By looking at your specific circumstances with a trained eye, they can really maximise both the income and help to cut your costs. And I just wanted to coin Mary's phrase again and say, I think she summed it up brilliantly. This is essentially neighbours helping neighbours, and that's what we're all about in Argyll and Bute. So I think that's a lovely message to end on. Thanks.